Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. Today we're discussing a week of sell-offs and volatility in global equities. We'll be asking our panel to explain what we've seen and to unpack some of the background factors that might have prompted, or at least permitted, the week's turbulence. As ever, we'll attempt to unpack what the market moves mean and gauge what the next steps might be, whether we're looking at interest rate rises, complications for central banks, or potential opportunities for investors. We start with Kiran Ganesh, Executive Director at UBS Wealth Management. Kiran, maybe tell us a little bit about some of the background factors here that might have shaped the landscape in which this happened, or indeed even prompted it to happen.
I think the main factor that people need to consider is that we've been in a period of very, very calm markets, which have been increasing at a fairly rapid pace. That calm has been instilled by an improving global economy, strong earnings growth, tax cuts in the US. And typically when you see periods of very low volatility in markets, investors can tend to extrapolate that into the future. And what we saw was quite a large buildup in people who were effectively betting that low period of volatility would continue into the future. Now, what we saw on Friday, the 2nd of February, was that there were some concerns about higher interest rates in the US. Now, ordinarily, something which, you know, the market could take in its stride. But what started to happen was that even a small increase in volatility led to many of these people who'd hoped that it would continue into the future losing some money and closing their positions. And then that led to a spiraling effect. And you ended up with a much, much larger sell-off than would ordinarily be expected for the kind of news that we got. Yeah, effectively people assuming that this extraordinary period of calm in markets would continue, and obviously markets proving them wrong.
Remind us of what's happened and what you've made of it. Ewan Potts from Bloomberg.
Yeah, it's really been quite something. It's been a global sell-off which has wiped about $5 trillion from stock markets around the world. The Stock 600 here in Europe, it looks set for its worst week since 2016. Now, of course, we've had a pretty good couple of years for global markets, particularly 2017. Markets rallied right across the world, and there was an incredible lack of volatility. Stock markets, not just stock markets, but foreign exchange markets and bond markets all tend to be relatively volatile. They have been over history. But last year saw remarkable calm right across markets, and that's perhaps lulled investors into a little bit of a false sense of security.
Talking to us on Friday ahead of US trading, Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek explained how the US informs the rest of the global picture in this space and how this correction unfolded by the week's end.
Equities, they're entering a correction, which is typically a 10% drop from a recent peak. You've got a whole load of stats out of this one. The S&P 500 erasing its gain for the year, closing at a two-month low, on track for its worst week since 2011. The Dow, which was the harbinger of our first mini crisis earlier in the week, plunging more than 1,000 points for the second time in 4 days. You saw that play through into the Asian session again, a sea of red there. China taking a particularly heavy hit, down some 4%. In Europe, we're starting to run out of steam. We're only down by 1%, which in the context of things isn't quite so bad. And if you look at the US equity futures for the upcoming session, they are sat positive. So it could be that we're going to see another little respite here. There's a lot of concern over Treasury yields. You had an auction yesterday that gave the bond bears a lot of ammunition. You saw the 10-year yield reach as high as 2.88, which is a four-year high, a pretty significant move. A lot of worries over inflation there. And of course, volatility, which we talked about a lot earlier in the week. Worries over people unwinding their bets against volatility, which has been a very popular trade.
David Lefkowitz is Executive Director and Senior Equity Strategist Americas in the UBS Wealth Management CIO. David, with these striking market moves this week, the big stock sell-off on Monday in particular, what's the backdrop to all of that in your view?
I think the story that the market is really adjusting to is the following. I mean, first, we did see slightly faster than increase in wages in the job report that came out about 10 days ago. And as a result, that led to a little bit of volatility. As you know, we haven't seen much volatility in especially in the stock market, in quite some time, you know, about a year and a half or so. As a result of that pickup in volatility, it turns out that I don't think many people really fully appreciated this, is that a lot of people were betting that the low volatility environment was going to continue to remain in place. And when volatility started to pick up, a lot of those positions began losing money. A lot of them were leveraged positions and therefore needed to be unwound, and that accelerated the volatility increase. So, long story short, I think this was much more of a technical factor rather than a change in the economic or corporate profit outlook. And it was really triggered by the fact that there had been a buildup in risk-taking, especially amongst investors betting for volatility to remain low for longer. And when we did see the pickup in volatility, it started the unwind of a lot of those positions.
And if I can come back to you, Ewan Potts, on that point that David makes there on volatility more broadly and this idea that people have bet on volatility to remain low, what do you make of that?
One of the interesting things we've seen over the past week is a blow up in volatility products. So over the course of last year, because volatility was so low, a lot of people took to betting on volatility itself. They were betting the volatility would continue to be low. And for much of last year, that was a one-way bet. People were so certain that volatility would remain low. And of course, these products, there are about $8 billion of these products tied to one index alone on the volatility index. And of course, when volatility shot up, suddenly those people were left very exposed. So this is a new risk to financial markets through people betting on low volatility.
Does the scale of Monday's sell-off complicate things across the board and indeed for central banks specifically? Kiran Ganesh.
I don't think that the Monday sell-off actually really changes very much. And it was quite reassuring actually to see that although it was a very sharp sell-off in stock markets, we didn't see the kind of contagion that we might usually expect from such a big sell-off. So, for example, currency markets were relatively calm. Bond markets did rally a little, but nothing kind of out of the ordinary. And we didn't see big rises in the cost of borrowing for banks and all this kind of stuff that really led to things like the financial crisis and the Eurozone crisis in the past. So it seems like something that was quite isolated to equities. I think what central banks will be watching going forward is what happens in bond markets, actually. And if we do start to see or continue to see bond prices falling, and then that might start to lead things like mortgage rates going up, long-term borrowing costs going up, and that might lead central banks to be a bit more circumspect. But I'm not sure that the sell-off in equity markets is really going to change the picture for the central banks.
Well, David Lefkowitz, can you speak to that idea that maybe Monday's events are broadly contained, but this idea that looking to the bond market might be more instructive?
Yeah, the fact that interest rates have moved up rather quickly, I do think that's having some impact as well. And I think the market is trying to adjust to, okay, what does this mean for the economy and for financial markets? I think, though, some of the knee-jerk negative reactions that we've seen in the stock market due to higher interest rates, I'm not sure those are going to be long-lasting. If you take a little bit of a longer-term perspective here, especially since the financial crisis, higher interest rates have actually been positive for the stock market. And that's because the bigger concern that the markets have over the last several years has been that there hasn't been enough growth or inflation. And rising interest rates, when they rise gradually, and for the right reasons, because growth is picking up and inflation is rising a little bit, that has been something that the stock market has actually liked. So I think there's been a little bit of dislocations, partly in response to the backup in interest rates. But I think it's also important to recognize that gradual rise in interest rates is not something that should derail the stock market. In fact, it should be confirmation that the improvement in growth is real, and a little bit of a pickup in inflation would actually be a good thing for the economy and for stocks overall.
David, can I also ask you about central banks? In particular, if we're looking to the Fed and the rather luckless Jay Powell's first day in the office after replacing Janet Yellen, which was Monday, of course, what do you make of the Fed's position?
I think it's something that the Fed certainly is watching. And, you know, it's kind of ironic because there's kind of this old saying that a new chair of the Fed always gets tested. The markets always test the new chair. Usually it doesn't happen on the first day that the chair takes his or her position. But the Fed is going to be more responsive to how does the market moves and financial markets affect the real economy, because that's their mandate. Their mandate is tied to the real economy, meaning their mandate is full employment and stable prices. So if the market moves affect the outlook for those two variables that they try to target, then they will adjust. I think at this point, though, there's not much of an impact likely to come from the volatility that we've seen. Now, obviously, if it gets deeper from here, that could have an impact, and it could have an impact on the real economy and therefore how the Fed reacts. But at this point, I think this is kind of mostly noise from the economy's perspective and therefore the Fed's perspective, but something we'll have to keep a close eye on.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at what the future in the short and medium term might hold. A possibly unanswerable question to a degree, but what, Kiran Ganesh, do you expect to happen next?
Yeah, well, look, I think that the volatility we saw on Monday still needs to work its way out. There's still some positions that need to be unwound. We've still got the VIX index, which, you know, traditionally you'd expect to see in somewhere in the 10 to 20 range is still up above 30 as I'm speaking. So there still needs to be some kind of calm that will return to markets. I'm quite confident that that will happen because it seems to be a largely isolated incident and it's rather technical in nature. And the fundamentals of the global economy still look very good. We'd expect to see growth at a global level accelerating again this year, and really every region contributing in some positive way to that. I think that as we look forward, that strong growth should continue to support stock markets, and we still see a positive year for stock markets through this year. However, I think the key risk that people will need to be watching is bond markets. And remember that just on Friday, that sell-off in bond markets did lead to some more fundamental concerns about what happens if interest rates rise. Will that lead to less profitability for companies? Will that lead to investors switching away from stocks and towards bonds? So that dynamic in bond markets, I think, will be important to watch. But we do nonetheless see a positive year for stocks, driven by that strong profits growth coming through this year.
And next, a counterintuitive point, possibly, that volatility is often actually positive for markets. You and Potts, do you subscribe to that view?
It's certainly more normal for markets to be volatile, and the amazing calm we had during 2017 was really pretty unusual. It actually was bad for bank profits. Banks' trading arms rely partly on volatility to make money, so banks have been unhappy at the low volatility over recent times. So perhaps we're just getting back to a more normal situation. Remember that we're now in what we call a stock market correction. That means that stock prices are down from 10% from their peak. We've had more than 20 of these since 1940, so it's worth get a bit of context. This is not hugely unusual. Stock markets do go up and down, and when they rally as much as they have done over recent times, we can expect them to come off a little bit. I suppose looking forward, it's whether they continue going down and we go down much more. But at the moment, it's only off 10% from its peak, so that's not quite as shocking as you might think.
David Lefkowitz, if I can put that point to you as well, a perhaps counterintuitive point, that volatility is often actually positive for markets.
When you see volatility rise to very extended levels, and this is what we saw over the last few days, basically when you run the data, it suggests that the market returns are actually quite good. In fact, you usually get about a 20% return from stocks over the next year in the U.S. And I think how Warren Buffett talks about things, you know, his saying is you want to be greedy when people are fearful and fearful when people are greedy. And when volatility is high, people tend to be fearful. That's, you know, kind of counterintuitively, some of the best buying opportunities, that's when you want to deploy capital into the market. So I think that this will probably be seen as a decent buying opportunity in hindsight, but certainly markets will probably remain unsettled for the short term.
Wise words, indeed, from the Sage of Omaha, and of course from David Lefkowitz. Back to you, Kiran, again, for a final note, perhaps, on what investors should be taking away from the past 7 days or so.
we generally think the Monday incident, for one of a better phrase, is something that is contained and isn't something that we'd expect to have any kind of prolonged impact. The global economic picture is still good. It's the Friday sell-off in the bond markets, and if that continues, I think that would lead us to be a little more concerned, actually. Yeah, the Monday thing, this seems like a, you know, sort of flash crash kind of thing. We wouldn't expect to see that kind of thing continuing.
And finally, what should we look out for going forward from here, in your view, Ewan Potts?
We're now officially in a stock market correction. That means that prices have gone down 10% from their peak. But I think the thing to watch out for now is about contagion. It's how far this spills into other asset classes and then potentially out into the real economy. If this gets contained in the stock market, then in a way that's okay. Not, of course, if you've lost lots of money on your stocks. But it's whether this then spills out into the bond market, into other markets, and whether it comes then into the real economy. I think credit markets are one of the key things to watch. At the moment, the contagion hasn't really spread out into the credit markets, although junk bonds are starting to show some cracks. But the quality credit, if you like, that hasn't really been touched so far. So at the moment, it's looking fairly contained. That's really something to watch out for.
And that's Ewan Potts bringing us to the end of this 175th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.